back here from our KGGF studios in downtown Coffeyville. Sam's back. Glad you're with us here on this Wednesday morning as well. Glad, Jacob Weber, you're with us here. Jacob, always glad that you're able to squeeze some time in for us here as we will finish off our conversation this morning with the K-State Extension and Research Offices. As, again, any questions out there that you may have about the comments that we are making this morning, feel free to give us a call back at 620-251-6909. I know there was someone right on the lines before we went to a break, and it looks like they're right back. So
okay.
Let's get right back over to them. Good morning, caller. This is the KGGF. Do you have a question for Jacob Weber?
Yes, I do. Jacob, I just planted some grapevines. You know, they're just brand new grapevines. I put T-posts in, and then I've got wire run between the T-posts. I brought three grapevines. I put one here, and then I put T-posts by that one, another one in the middle, and then another one. And how long will it take for them to produce?
They expect 3 to 4 years, but within 3 years, you'll get some production. 4 years, 4 to 5 years, you start getting your full production.
Okay.
Number one thing is this is the first year of your grapevines. What you want to do is control the weeds, make sure that plants are maintained adequate soil moisture throughout. If it gets a dry spell, you want to irrigate them. And then, of course, if your soil is good, you don't have to worry about fertilizer this year. They don't need a whole lot of fertilizer. But if you want to, some water-soluble fertilizer mixed with water, according to label directions. You know, talking about something that you would use for potted plants as well. And just one application here after they maybe start a little bit of growth, just to ensure that they have the minerals that they need from the soil, that is through the root system. And we're talking about nitrogen, phosphate, and potash. Just a general type of fertilizer. If I could throw out brand names, I would, but I probably shouldn't. But yeah, there's quite a number that are available. But the first year you're growing your grapevine, you just want the plant to grow.
Okay, well, I've got some that have been growing for several years, and I talked to you about it before. I mean, these are different ones. And I cut them back real hard just the other day. Now, I know you told me to cut them on, you know, lateral branches and all this, and I can never figure out what you mean by that. But last year I cut them back real hard, and I had more grapes than I ever had before.
Okay.
So I'm going to let them go and do as I did, and they seem to do so well. I mean, it took a lot longer, but, I mean, we got so many grapes, it was unbelievable.
Okay. Well, pruning the grapevines, depending on the variety that you're growing, some are best pruned to the cane system, and others are to the fruiting spur system. But it works for both. You can American hybrids, French American hybrids. They work well with a cordon-trained fruiting spurs. And I have an American hybrid that is called, can't think of the name of it. Okay.
Well, I know you explained how to cut them back before, but it was about as clear as mud.
Yeah, that's true. It takes some understanding. Once you understand how to prune them, I mean, that's just as simple as anything. You just go out. But grapes are the fruiting cane, or the fruit is produced on new growth.
Right.
So it's going to be produced on buds that formed on new growth last year. The canes shoots that are going to produce fruit this year are from canes that grew last year. And so that's what the focus is on, retaining good quality canes that developed last year as shoots. And you want to select canes that are about the size of a pencil, maybe a little bit larger, and nice, long, at least a run of 10 to 12 buds on that cane that have not broken and turned into lateral shoots. Sometimes you get a very vigorous growing cane, and it will produce lateral shoots, and sometimes they're referred to as bull canes. Those are really lousy canes to keep. You want one that's maybe a 10 to 12 buds long. You clip it off and tie it to your wire, and that will be part of the material that you save for production this year. Each individual vine, we want anywhere from 30 to 40, possibly even 50 actual buds that we're going to count, that we're going to retain on the vine. So if we're doing a four-cane Kniffen, we'll save four canes. Each cane is going to have 10 active buds that are on it, 10 good quality buds that we're going to tie to each one of the wires, and going one direction, the other direction on the top, and then and both directions on the bottom wire. That's one way of pruning and training grapes. Another way is to grow two horizontal wires side by side, maybe about 3 feet apart, and have the branch come branch up apart, and then run a cane on both directions on each wire. But when you have four canes, each cane having 10 buds, you have 40 buds, and that's what you use to produce for production. Every year you get new canes developing. Sometimes we leave a what's called a renewal spur, or just joints with that have canes on them the previous year, but we'll cut those back to maybe only two buds long, and they'll produce new canes or new shoots that will be turned into fruiting canes for next year, and we'll use that for replacement, and the other one we'll cut off during the winter months and cut it or totally remove it back to maybe a couple of buds long to produce another renewal spur. So it's a continual process of reducing the amount of wood on the grapevine and retaining the wood in an area where we're going to have the production. And if you don't prune a grapevine, it's producing wood is going to be further and further away from the base, or it's going to be all mixed up in a tangled up mess, and it's going to be very difficult to control insects and disease issues. It becomes an unmanageable. No. It's like somebody letting their hair grow really long and just never combing it. It just becomes a mess. So,
okay,
yeah.
Now I sprayed last week before it rained. I sprayed my orchard with all my fruit trees with fungicide, and then it rained real hard, and all, so I sprayed them all again. Now, some of them had buds on them, but they hadn't bloomed yet. And a couple of them started blooming. Now I've got my peaches are in full bloom, and one of my plums and one of my apple trees are in full bloom. I'm not doing any more spraying on them now because of that.
Yeah.
I do okay to do that?
Okay. The fungicide spray for your peaches, it's too late for peach leaf curl spray. That should be when it's dormant. And you would use like lime sulfur spray or chlorothalonil spray, fungicide spray for that particular issue.
I did that before they did anything.
Okay. Number one issue on your plum and your peach is going to be American brown rot. And if you get that started on in your orchard, you really got a mess. So you have to really stay on top of it with the fungicide protective spray. And your fungicide typically is going to be Captan fungicide for that those particular issues. Pre-bloom spray at the pink stage was good, and actually if you're using just a straight fungicide like Captan, you can spray during bloom, but your real critical spray is going to be right at bloom and at petal fall. Those are critical periods because that's when you have most serious infection. Of course, it doesn't infect the fruit at that point in time. It affects the new shoots. And so you get the lesions, brown rot lesions on the shoots, and then they start reproducing spores, and then they infect your developing fruit. And
so I need to spray them again?
Yeah, you're going to be your orchard spray. I'm assuming you're going to be using a fruit tree spray.
Right.
Okay. It's a mixture of an insecticide and a fungicide. So,
okay.
All right. Pre-bloom at pink spray, at petal fall when the petals falling off the trees, spray again. 7 days after petals fall, spray again. Then every 2 weeks, spray again. reapply it every 2 weeks until about 3 to 4 weeks before anticipated harvest, and you stop spraying. So you have your your waiting period, your pre-harvest interval before you harvest fruit. Follow label directions. You probably have a good idea when to harvest or when you're harvesting, that way you can control, you can reduce the amount of insect and disease damage on the fruit. You're not going to eliminate it, you're just going to reduce it. You're trying to manage it. And another thing about good orchard management is pruning and removing diseased wood, making sure that you open up the trees so allow good air circulation, good sunlight penetration.
I did that a month ago.
Okay, very good.
So you told me to do that.
Okay, so very good. You're trying to manage the heights and the spread of the tree.
And also the stuff growing in the center of the tree. They all start growing inside the tree, start growing towards each other and all.
Yeah.
Get all that stuff out of there.
Yeah. You want to get those branches to spread out kind of horizontally.
Right.
And to get good sunlight absorption on the leaves. Adequate space between the limbs and branches so that you get the air circulation. Air circulation is important because it keeps things drier, and that's the number one problem with growing fruit, is that fruit staying wet, and then that makes it more susceptible to disease. And then the other thing is, if you have a heavy canopy of foliage, insects love that because it offers them a lot of protection, not only from natural predators, but from your ability to manage the pest issues that do develop with insecticides. Both you can use both organic acceptable insecticides or also manufactured insecticides that do an excellent job as well.
The last couple of years, we've had this late frost or whatever, and it knocked all the pliers off, and we didn't have very much fruit.
Yep.
It seems that this last frost, I thought it was going to hurt them really bad because they were full bloom, and they got down in upper 20s, low 30s.
Yep.
But it didn't seem to affect them at all this time.
You don't count your eggs yet, okay? Because one of the issues with this frost is that you may not get the blossom itself damaged or the little developing ovary that's damaged, but what happens a lot of times with the frost is before pollination, that pollen has to land on the stigma, and then that pollen tube germinates and it has to grow down through the style. And the style is very thin tissue. And if we get a freeze before that pollen tube grows down through that style, that style is damaged, and it doesn't make any difference. You'll never get a fruit to develop that it does not fertilize the developing embryo. It doesn't happen. So you have to wait and see what happens. I suspect.
Well, I'm going to be positive about this.
Okay. Good. Hopefully you get a peach crop, and maybe it'll just work out perfect that you get a little bit of thinning of the fruit, because if you have a heavy fruit set, you're going to have to go in and hand thin to get a good quality peach. Otherwise, you get a lot of fruit to develop, and it has very thin flesh and a big stone. And we don't eat the stone. We eat the flesh, fleshy part of the fruit. So we want to make sure that you do some thinning. You want, on your peach trees, you want one fruit every 4 to 5 inches of stem.
Okay, well, I'll call you back about that once I get some fruit.
Okay, very good.
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate the call this morning. As again, Jacob, appreciate all the questions being answered as well. Man, you guys flew through it, Ed. And again, K-State Extension and Research joining us here on a Wednesday morning, just like they do many, many times. Jacob Weber, thanks so much. And whether it's you or many of the other great agents, we'll see you next Wednesday.
All right, thanks for hosting.
This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.